You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
What's going on, y'all? This your man Chris, one half of the Brothers Layman. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Black Is Break, brought to you by the Black Is Network. So in this episode, we touch on a number of different topics. This is myself, KC, Tash, Alicia, Shelby, and Arian. We kind of get into Thanksgiving, then we jump into the Black Family cover on Ebony Magazine with Bill Cosby. Then we kind of touch on Raven Simone and different people saying ridiculous things, keeping things in-house and getting white validation. You know, just a little all over the board for you. Make sure you're keeping up with us on the website, blackisonline.com. You know, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud. Leave us some ratings and reviews, man. We always appreciate it. And if you have any questions or comments, reach out to us at kc@blackisonline.com, on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online, or on the hotline 323-455-4219. Let's get into it.
How long will you be there for? Like 8 days, probably.
That's gonna be nice.
And then where I'm going straight from there, Dubai.
Oh, nice.
To Chicago for Thanksgiving.
Oh my god, I can't.
So basically, I have to pack for like I'm thinking maybe a 50-degree difference.
Oh wow, yeah, from hot to cold. You have family in Chicago. That would be nice.
That'd be nice. I go every year for Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
My grandparents.
Okay.
So where are you guys having Thanksgiving?
We have it at my mom's cousin's house.
Okay.
We have it there every year.
That's nice.
Oh, that's right. You have appetizers. You used to have appetizers at your grandmother's house.
Mm-mm. There, too. They make all the appetizers, too.
Oh, okay.
My mom's cousin is, like, a really good cook. Mm. I mean, it's complete white people Thanksgiving. Like, no macaroni and cheese.
Casseroles.
No greens.
No.
They do. No. Sometimes my grandma will make a green bean casserole, which is like so white
with the green with the onions on
I
top.
I love green bean casserole. Mine is tasty good. Too, girl. Yeah. I make a good one.
It's not bad.
But we also always have greens. And
no, we don't have anything.
What do they serve? What do you have?
We have turkey, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes in some form or fashion, or yams or something like that. There's usually, like they'll make, like, Brussels sprouts or, like, green beans, I feel like, would be a vegetable.
Green beans is a good.
I'm trying to think what else.
Mm-hmm.
Gravy. Cranberries.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of just stereotypical. But my family is really, they do a lot of appetizers, which are out of the norm, like, just random.
Like, appetizers.
So, like, I will be, like, stuffed. Before anything.
Dinner comes
any
up.
Dinner. Yes. It's a nightmare. And I do it every single year. So I never really enjoy the actual dinner.
Yeah. I'm not even looking forward to Thanksgiving. Yeah, normally you have a taste for it. You're like, ooh, I want that comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
It seems kind of heavy and a little early in the year.
It just came so quick.
Yeah.
It seems way fast.
Yeah, it came. This was the quickest year ever.
They started advertising
more. I know.
Is
that we're getting
more.
Old?
Well, that we're and just that and they're starting. Yeah. They're starting to push it.
Yeah.
Well, now you got Black Friday deals. I'm like, Black Friday ain't for like 2 weeks.
Oh, right. I've heard there's like a talk of boycotting Black Friday.
Yeah.
Have people been hearing that?
I have.
Every year.
I know, but I've heard like for real, like it was on the radio.
You know
it's always easy for me to boycott Black Friday.
I know. I'm like, fine with me.
Well, you know what all
is. That one time we bought computers on Black Friday? Yeah.
We stole Small Business Saturday.
Too. That's the last time I did.
And Cyber Monday now.
I do Small Business Saturday, and if I have any money, I'll do Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
On Small Business Saturday, I try to support African-American, if it's a young woman, then, you know, that's a plus, too. But I try to help out a minority or something, but that's it.
Yeah.
No, it just, it feels like it. Well, now with this Black Lives Matter movement, I'm just seeing it. I'm like, I'm just waiting to get the full announcement.
Yeah.
That week, like, don't buy nothing.
I would love if we could do, like, a real boycott. Like, they were talking on the radio, like even if it was just, like, they were like, if all, like, you boycott all fast food for a week. And yeah. Just, like, see that impact, like, mm-hmm. on McDonald's, on whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I just wish we could do. I feel like that's doable. Like,
I think
week.
So too.
I think
yeah.
that's doable.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
really it's do. Doable for you because you don't eat fast food.
No, but a week.
No, but I do eat fast food. Well, I was like, I could do it.
You would have to prepare. Either
prepare.
Like if you live in a food desert,
right.
Saying exactly. No fast food for a week might be major.
You living around him.
Might be major.
It is.
And then you might have to like. Eat prepare. At home yeah. or eat microwave dinners for an entire
but
week.
Just
I don't know.
Week
yeah.
You know, like if you only have to think of it for a week,
right.
It's like mm-hmm. not insurmountable.
What about weekend?
I find a start.
Yeah,
yeah.
A better start, and then mm-hmm. people are like, "Oh, there's this thing called meal prep."
But I just love the idea of like you know these boycotts and like even just like the college stuff, like this sort of feeling of like knowing your power. You
oh
know?
Yeah, like
I'm
Missouri.
Yeah, like,
I was,
okay.
That was pretty.
Yeah,
that was
on the docket. I mean, it seems like it's happening at a ton of colleges now.
Totally.
These kids are not playing. I love them so much. They are not playing. And I need that from them because...
I'm almost jealous. I'm like, God, I wish
I
was in college right now, you know?
Do you want to move on to the Cosby Show cover? The Ebony mm-hmm. cover?
Are we done with the Missouri stuff?
Oh, we just started on Missouri. Mm-hmm. Well, so no.
If you guys want to talk about it.
Missouri or the cover?
I'm Missouri.
The state.
What's
the state.
Oh, well, just you haven't seen it?
No. Is this with all the women?
No.
Oh,
bring
Lord.
It up. Oh,
she's
bring it up there
it.
So it's bigger.
But we can still
the
talk
cover
about
of Ebony Magazine.
the black family issue?
No, yeah. I have not seen it.
I'm so happy I saw something you did.
What? Are you serious?
Yes, you even knew the Patti LaBelle pie situation. Like, how did she like know
that
everything?
That was all over Facebook.
It was all over Facebook, and it came out of nowhere.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Facebook. It really sucks
yeah,
not being on Facebook sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. It did. It was all over.
I felt like the Patti LaBelle pie and the, what do you call
since
it?
Since we're
the
talking
golden...
Thanksgiving.
And the Golden Girls, black people
oh, that
singing
was,
it.
What?
That was good.
I feel as if that was all like a concerted effort at the same time.
It was
right?
Like a black person singing over the Golden Girls.
Singing gospel
theme?
Over the Golden
oh,
Girls.
Oh, wow. Because
we damn near need to have that one again since there's a gospel version of Hotline Bling now.
That was hot, though.
I heard that and I said, not today. Not today. Not the gospel version of God.
No, I definitely haven't seen this.
Yeah.
You haven't seen this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this?
My cover.
Let me see.
I love it.
That's
oh, yeah, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, Ebony has great
someone
covers.
Who had something to do with the cover wrote a piece about it.
What did they say?
It's someone... Oh, it's the guy I like. He's funny. He's he blogs. What's his... it doesn't matter. But he's funny.
So
but, yeah.
What's the topic like?
He was very proud that he was part of... The story. I think he either wrote the story. He's a contributing writer to that cover story.
Okay.
And he didn't think they were going to go with it. And he was like, "This is very ballsy to do."
That's the best cover art I've seen
in a long
on
time.
A magazine ever on Ebony.
Right? Ebony doesn't have good covers.
No, they just have like a picture.
It's
yeah. That had
pretty
to be
standard.
Like, great.
What
yeah.
they do every time. Yeah.
Like yeah. That's commentary. You're saying a lot. And
with
that
one
it.
Photo, yeah.
And the fact, like you're saying, that it's Ebony.
Right.
Like, that adds to the art.
Yeah.
That it's like, that it's this cover that always has this very standard setup, standard. This is the first breakaway.
A beautiful studio promo shot, which yeah. that initially was yeah. a promo shot. It's like, why don't we just put in a frame and shatter it?
Because like, wasn't that photo, was that photo on the cover of Ebony before? Like when the Cosby Show was out? That would make sense. Like, was that a cover photo for Ebony before?
I don't know. That's a good question. It seems like they would have used it.
Yeah. I mean, that would make complete sense.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's nothing to say about it in depth because we've already broken down Bill Cosby every which way but loose.
Is it about the black family or is it about him ruining the Cosby Show?
It's about him ruining the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
And then why do you call it? Then it's almost like, why is it the black family?
Because they might be talking about how black men ruin black families.
Since that's the general consensus.
Wait, you're saying the article is about
black men fucking up black families?
The Cosby Show?
The legacy of it.
Because it's completely connected to the black family, isn't it? Because for years and years and years, we all held the Huxtables up as the, this kind of ideal, this is what you need to aim for. Of the black family, and it's completely shattered because of one person. Because everyone else has had a little drama here and there, drug addict, this, that, and the other.
Who's a drug addict?
What's his face?
Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah.
Was he a drug addict?
I thought he was a drug addict.
I don't know, but I'm enjoying the rumor. And
anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and say they're pretty squeaky clean. Lisa Bonet is the only one. I think the worst thing she did was offer to pose for Playboy.
Raven Simone turned out to be a coon.
But I mean, wow. Yeah, we could talk about.
And I agree. But I'm gonna go ahead and say, if you compare them to like the cast of Different Strokes, if you compare them to other child actors, they're pretty clean. Like, if Raven Simone's the worst case, she ended up being a billionaire or like a $100 million, like nine digit person versus a Todd Bridges or Gary Coleman or Daniel Plato or.
Yeah. Maybe it was Todd Bridges.
That's who you were thinking of. Was Todd Bridges.
Emmanuel Webster's still cool. He's still got street cred.
Right. No.
Emmanuel Webster.
Is Arnold still alive?
No. That's a beast. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Like, yeah. Raven Simone's above ground and she's balling.
Even though she keep putting her foot in her fucking mouth.
Did you read what
she
her
She doesn't
parents...
put her foot in her mouth. She's literally like...
Oh, what is to the latest?
What did her parents say? What happened with that?
Oh, her dad.
Her dad was just like... sometimes your kids just say dumb stuff.
Yeah.
But she's like, that's our daughter. We're going to get her back.
Like, right.
That's our daughter.
Like, we're proud of her accomplishments. We're proud of her accomplishments. Even though she says dumb stuff.
But they said it like honest parents. Yeah.
It's so bad that I saw a clip of Ann Coulter.
Oh, God.
Raven Simone. Like, yes. I was like, wait.
That
we're
was
on
painful.
The side of Ann Coulter?
She's still saying
that was painful.
She basically brought up the fact, because Raven Simone was like, you're very hurtful to immigrants, and like my
Why
mom
do you
told
say
me
things?
If you don't have something nice, then don't say anything at all. And she's like, well, you're the one who said you wouldn't hire someone named Watermelon Drea. So that wasn't very nice. You didn't take your own advice. And Raven Simone like said not one thing.
She
like,
had
it was like
no
silence.
No.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah,
I'm like, you got punked by Ann Coulter.
Yeah, well, that's what it,
exactly.
That's what Ann Coulter does. She's used to that. She's used to having to come back real quick. And she's like, no, everything I'm talking about is politics and everything that means. You just want to, you just mad at people's names.
Yeah.
And she was like,
Yeah. Okay. She also made it.
Right. Because she is on that show specifically to do exactly what she's doing, which is make stupid comments constantly. Like, what was the.
It does get press.
I know it gets ratings.
Press, and the show is doing terribly, and they're scratching the walls trying to keep it on the air or something. And so their answer is Raven Simone. And, it's a mistake for so many reasons because people remember stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they intentionally do this or not, when black people say things, other people blanket it across. So she becomes justification for foolishness. Like, well, Raven Simone said, no. We cannot quote Raven Simone for anything. Like,
right.
We should not. But the fact is,
Raven
she's
Simone,
not.
I'm black. She's
right.
Just,
she's all. Yeah, she's from all countries. So, I mean, all the continents. She's from all the continents. But the reality is that she is. She has this huge platform. She's on The View.
Yeah.
Who watches The View? Not a bunch of black people. I mean, I just, if you think about the demographic of The View, it's not a bunch of black people. And this is just, you know, giving them more ridiculous fuel, more ridiculous excuses to be racist, because this, I don't want to call her a coon, but this confused young person, confused Negro is, I think that she does know that they're using her for exactly what she's being used for, but I think that she doesn't care.
I'm going to say I agree, and I hear what you're saying. She's a platform. Black words matter. Black words matter. But I was going to add, too, I feel like she's like the Donald Trump of the morning talk show thing. I think when you say ridiculous shit, you're elevated in society right now in this social media thing. I mean, whoever says the most ridiculous shit seems to be number one at what they do. Like, what's the other morning? We got Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa. Mm-hmm. We've got The Real. And people talk more about Raven Simone than any of those people right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's like Donald Trump. It's like, and Ben Carson, they say shit like, this healthcare system is worse than slavery. And the more ridiculous you say shit, the bigger it gets. And I feel like everything now is on a rating system. Like, however many ratings you can get, that's what people are going for, regardless of what it is. And I don't even think, I think it really isn't about race. I think it's about promoting shit.
I would agree 100%. The only difference between Raven Simone and Bill Carson.
Black words matter.
Ben Carson. Thank you. Versus Donald Trump is, I don't think that Donald Trump believes everything he says. There's a part of me that just the vibe I get from him is that he's just going to be incendiary just because he knows it's ginning up attention and promotion. Yeah. Whereas I see the conviction in Raven Simone and Ben Carson's eyes when they say this.
Wait, time out. We're going to stop at you've seen conviction in Ben Carson's eyes. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to say it's more likely that Donald Trump believes his nonsense than Ben Carson, because Ben Carson at least, like, is an educated person of science. Like, he has some sort of, like... No.
That man is deluded.
But I mean...
He's deluded.
I was going to say he's delusional. That man is delusional.
But I don't think he... I don't know. Like, the whole Egyptian pyramids, grain stores, like, the whole slavery, healthcare. I don't really think he believes that Obama's healthcare system is worse than slavery. I don't think he... I think it's the same thing. I think him and Donald Trump are in the same
game. Okay, you know, I'll give you that one. I'll give you that.
Donald Trump won up, so he's like, okay, let me... of Donald Trump, and I'm black, so it's even more ridiculous. Like,
I'll give you that one, but the ridiculous stuff he believes about religion.
Oh, that's definitely, once you get into religion, that's different. Yeah, we all believe crazy shit when it comes to God.
Like, he's since, yeah. Ben Carson has a sincerity, and Raven Simone, they both have a sincerity that Donald Trump just doesn't have.
Definitely. I would agree with that.
Totally. And maybe that just makes both of them better performers. But it's funny, Donald Trump is actually more likable as the carnival barker, you know, like...
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
As black people, how do we have these conversations, quote-unquote, in-house? There's never seems to be a way to... Because even when something like that happens, it's like, why are they doing it on this show? You know, white folk gonna feel a certain way. Like, how do we have these discussions that we need to have and reach everybody, reach all of our community, but not, quote unquote, outsiders? Because I don't see how you can do that on a huge platform. Even goes back to, you know, Bill Cosby with him calling out, you know, at the...
Black people can tell when you're talking to us, when we're being spoken to, and it's a message for us, but it's been done, it's being held in a public forum.
Example.
Just someone saying, you can give a caveat to it, but let me give an example. Let me think of an example. Eric Dyson. He has a huge platform, and he will talk to folks about, like, what black folks need to do. But it's not the judgment of it. It's like his main audience isn't for white people to hear what black people need to do. Whereas Cosby will use his platform, which is far larger than Michael Eric Dyson's, of course, and talk about what black people would need to do, but wouldn't distinguish that, hey, so closed circuit television, you know, moment real quick. Black folk, like, y'all need to vote, you know, like, he just wouldn't, he wouldn't nuance the opportunity or when he made those comments. And so black people got defensive and, you know, didn't protect him.
Right.
And didn't think of him as, you know, completely part of the tribe, although he was a leader of the tribe. We had issues about him.
I was gonna say, there's like different approaches to this in a sense. And it just reminds me of this interview that I read with Oprah, where she was like, I'm so much more effective showing than telling. And that's obviously her method, is just like, she's a black person that, you know, without saying, I'm black, you know, but it's like, just by essence of being, she's forcing people to know a black person or think differently about black people. And then there's that, and then there's actually talking about it, which is sort of a different approach. I guess it just depends on what works for you, and I feel like Bill Cosby was more of a shower, you know, too.
Right.
I think sometimes we're under the delusion that people don't know our... Everybody knows our dirty laundry. That's my whole thing. Like, this whole thing, well, you can't say that around. They get, hey, they know. Like, whatever it is you think, like, what, and we can be honest, what in this table, like, as a community, we have our faux pas. What are the faux pas we think that other communities don't know that we have? I mean.
No, it's not about they're not knowing about our what is issue. Yeah. It's about our airing them, our grievances with our own tribe in public with other folks.
So, like, so
it's
example.
Like, it's like everyone might know your family's a bunch of alcoholics, but you're not going to go ahead. No, but I mean,
like, give me a real example that exists in mainstream. Like, something that's happened where we're like, say, this happened, but why are we letting white folks know?
Like, Tavis and Cornel West versus Obama. Like, why does everybody need to know you don't like, you hate Obama now?
Oh, yeah. That was tacky.
It was so tacky.
That was tacky. That was very tacky.
Yeah.
That was very tacky. The whole Michael Eric Dyson, the Cornel West thing, too.
All public high-profile infighting.
Yeah, it's just basically where we can disagree with each other, but not, like air it.
And it got... I'll be honest with you. I think the issue with that was that it got personal. I don't even think the issue was that they disagreed on Obama's policies, because that's kind of like... I think that's fair game in public. I think what made it get ugly was when Cornel West started getting personal.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
And I feel you. That was
I'm actually
that was
okay
tacky.
Even with the personal aspect, because I don't mind it being aired in public because I think that black people need to move beyond being concerned about the white gaze and how people see them and whatchamacallit. Like,
exactly.
So, but what I'm curious of is when people use, like I've accused Raven Simone, use a larger platform to not speak directly to black people, but to get validation from the white gaze.
Right.
And so that's where it becomes an issue of, like, why are you airing this out in public? Is it feeding your sense of, like, I'm good, I'm special, I'm a better Negro because I'm telling black people what they need to do, and I have a lot of people agreeing, like, yeah, they really need to do that. It's like, well... You know, that message really wasn't for you.
And that's
I was talking
not even,
to my
and
tribe.
That's not even airing, and that's not airing dirty laundry. That's just her being ignorant.
Yeah.
That's not even like...
But
like,
some people use the platform, some people use whatever platform they have to air dirty laundry because they're interested in getting a certain validation from the other. And I think, like I said, I think it can be done out in public forum. It feels like closed circuit because, like, I see you, Oprah, I see what you do and what you're saying, and I'm going to take the message.
I would think, like, with Oprah, with her, like when she threw that huge event for, like, all the female actresses and whatnot. Right. Then you're like, okay, this is her way of uniting black women together. And, you know, like, I got that without really her saying that. It felt like I'm trying to bring this sisterhood together. But yeah, Raven Simone, like, if you want to be a black person and get a platform and shit on black people to appease white people, that platform is readily available. Oh, yeah. They will be like, please, if you want to just say something.
Because anytime
something goes down with, you know, all the riots, I'm sure somebody will say something about what's going on in the colleges, but all this, the Baltimore, for all of that. You just like, come on. We know it's a black person who's about to come on and criticize black people, yeah. like what you shouldn't have done, yeah. and not bring up anything of like, well, do you understand the reasons why they did it? You just saying, oh, they just shouldn't have done it, period. Like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm always, that always, that's a very interesting thing. And I try to figure out, you know, I always ask myself this. I was on Twitter during the Democratic debate earlier today, and I was, you know, looking to see what was trending. And there were a couple of black conservatives who were trending and whose tweets were in my thing. And I always have to stop and question myself and be like, I went through their feed. And I ask myself, so how much of this is them having true convictions in a conservative ideology and enjoying the fact that they are commiserating with like-minded people on the internet? And then how much of this is them finding validation through people telling them that they're great? I mean, I one of the best autobiographies I read was Clarence Thomas's, my grandfather's son. He talked about how in school in the 60s during the revolutionary movement, like while all the black kids were organizing and like trying to, you know, or like were on the front lines and growing afros, he was just like, no, that's not for me. And he really found his set, like the folks who loved him and liked him in the other, you know, in the with the white kids.
Right.
And I thought about being like a black sharecropper's grandson from South Carolina, how much validation he got from being accepted in that universe. And so it's hard, like tonight, I'm just, I guess I'm trying to not analyze people in that sense, but
empathy.
Prejudge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I judge him. I can't stand Clarence Thomas. I'm like, I have no sympathy or empathy for
him. No, you should read his documentary. You would have a far more, you would have far more understanding of his humanity, and he's just a person if you read his.
Brought great, horrible ramifications on his own people that I cannot deal with.
But then Tash brings up a good point. It's something that hasn't really left us as a people, is that some people still really seek
white approval,
and it just is what it is. Like, and it gets passed down from our parents, that's arrival and or that success. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, a lot of black people, do it without even realizing, yeah. you know,
and they're taught that.
And they're
taught that they have to play this game, mm-hmm. and part of the game is assimilating into a way where you are accepted by white society. That's what's important.
Yeah, and even with all the black pride that I was brought up with, when I think back, or not even think back, while my aunt has Alzheimer's, and I'm listening to some of the things that she says now, and I'm realizing that, A, that's exactly what she was taught. Growing up, and how it still trickled down to me unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so she loves black people, but she has kind of a, I don't know, you can't be too black for her. It bothers her. It feels like, and for her, it's not an issue of black is necessarily bad, but white people will say, and then you fill in the blank. And you guys have heard me say stuff like that, you know, because it's just ingrained in who I am. It's how my family was taught and how I was unintentionally taught, because no one intentionally said that stuff to me. I just happened to be aware of it because we have these conversations where, and I grew, and I'm surrounded by more black pride where I can move towards that and not what, you know, what do you call it? The white gaze, you know, I have to move away from that, but it's a choice that I make. It's a very conscious
choice that I make now because I'm aware of it. But if you don't do that type of self-analysis, which I don't know very much about Clarence Thomas sharecropping situation, but unless he does something like that and has the courage to step away from it, then he's going to keep doing what he knows. Like Maya Angelou said, people do what they know how to do, not what they want to do or something else. They just do what they know how to do. So I do have a little bit of sympathy for him if that's where he came from.
I'm going to say this. This, it just reminds me of like being in the DR, dark-skinned brothers who like white girls, brothers from the South who like white girls, that segregation, that oppression it creates. I feel like it's not dating a white girl is not important to me because I grew up in California. I grew up in something like they were in my, it's like whatever. Like I know, you know what I mean? Like, but I feel like that segregation creates that, the forbidden fruit type of thing. You see that a lot. I feel like you see that a lot. You see it as much with black people who grew up with, who grew up with white people as much as you see it with people who are totally segregated, totally. It's like rapper. It's like some of the rapper, when you see with the white girls in the videos, it's like, and we're sitting there putting this political thing on it, like, oh, well, you're da-da-da. Well, the nigga grew up in Harlem. The nigga grew up, he's never seen white. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't see a bunch of white girls growing up. You know what I mean? So it's like,
they weren't trying to get with him.
They weren't trying to holler at him at all. So it was like, I feel like there's a human side. And I don't know where we're going with this. I forgot what the main topic we were on was. But I've been feeling, I feel you on this. I've been humanizing more people who I used to demonize, like George Bush. I'm getting my master's right now. I'm not there yet. Oh. I have to really read about No Child Left Behind. I have to actually read these educational policies right now. And it's like, there's a couple of things. I put this on Facebook and people went wild. I was like, you know, because of George Bush, arts education is a core subject. Art right now, legally, is like English and math. It's a core subject because of No Child Left Behind. There's ways that we address students who aren't native English speakers, which is a huge problem in California and major states, that to me are effective because of No Child Left Behind in a way where I demonized before. I still think what he did in education was far more devastating than how he helped. But having that made it like, oh, he's a human being. Like, it also goes back to someone brought up, like, do these people really believe this? I remember being at Cal. I was in student government. I walked in, and my first day in student government, I walk in the office. Chick Jenna walks in. She was like, I can't remember how this even came up. She was like, oh, I love Pete Wilson. I worked in his campaign, da 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 da. And I'm like 19 years old. Like, all I know is Tupac hates Pete Wilson. Right. He came up with a 3-strikes law, and he sends niggas to jail in California. That's what I know about Pete Wilson. But this chick from Stockton, is this white Republican chick, Jenna Martin, she's like, he's awesome. He's like the most amazing person. And this is about like, oh, there are people who really, like, there's a reason they, these people that become successful. Yeah. People really believe this. And even black, there are black, they really, that's, to me, that's political maturity is knowing that your opposition actually believes what they believe. You know, and it's weird, and it could be whatever, and it took me, like, that was my biggest growth. Wow. In politics was like, I'm not saying every person in politics believe what they put forth, but know that whatever ideology you think is ridiculous, there's someone who actually believes it like it's religion.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's, I mean, all. That's all.
You can still think the religion is ridiculous.
But what I'm saying is, let's switch. Maybe you were more involved than I was. I'm saying there were certain ideologies and certain thoughts I didn't think people really believed.
You thought they just said them.
I thought they said that because it was money. Because I was seeing it for what I was like, oh, well, that's a profitable perspective to have.
I will say this, not on the belief spectrum.
No, there are people who actually really believe this shit.
But not on the belief spectrum, but on the exposure spectrum. Uh-huh. I really think that in general, like, a lot of Americans don't know that they're already socialists. And that they enjoy socialism.
Right.
There's a lot of unexamined living and understanding about what, like, why their grandparents love their Social Security check. Like, and so,
fire departments, right wing, like, oh, I hate socialism.
Police department, fire department, library, anything.
Keep government, you know, out of my Medicare.
Keep government out of my Medicare. And so I'm always, when people believe it, I do believe it's sincere. But I'm always
lack of questioning information.
I always want to know how deep have they gone in their exploration of the facts.
Yeah. Ignorant. Yeah.
That's it. So I don't ever doubt someone's sincerity.
I've doubted sincerity.
Except for like a Donald Trump.
Right.
But or like an Ann Coulter or a Marco right. Rubio.
Marco Rubio.
I believe Marco Rubio believes what he believes.
I believe he believes he's a politician and he's a good one.
No,
he's a little too slick. He's too slick.
He's the typical like I'm Republican, but then when it comes to immigration, it gets shady. Like he's like Dick Cheney. Like every politician does have their Achilles heel. Like, well, this is kind of important to me. Like Dick Cheney really believes in same-sex marriage because his daughter is gay, and like that was his thing. Marco Rubio really believes what he believes about immigration because he's a Cuban immigrant. Like every single politician,
yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't have anything that he doesn't believe. Yeah, he's full of shit. I'm saying just overall,
he's the character in Alpha House.
His MO gives
you ever
me
seen
that.
Alpha House on Amazon? Yeah. He's the Latin character on Amazon.
But I mean, what you said, I actually have to defend Dick Cheney, which I'm like. Oh my God, I just want to stab myself having to defend Dick Cheney on anything.
Get her a knife.
But at least he like held strong with the gay marriage.
No, he believed that.
Like Marco Rubio flipped so fast with that immigration. As soon as it was unpopular, he was
true.
Like, oh no, I'm not involved with that anymore. And I know that I was helped create the entire thing, but now I no longer. And I'm like, that's where I'm like, at least Dick Cheney's like, look, mofos, I'm for gay marriage. My daughter's gay and I'm not bending on it. You know what I mean? I would respect Marco Rubio more if he took that position. But he's backed away from the immigration thing. But, you know, we'll see.
He should shoot somebody in the face and get away with it. Like, and then that would give him that Cheney gangster shit.
Right. But, yeah. I think he's got a good chance, though.
Mark Rubio?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. To make it far.
Mm.
In politics or just
in the primary?
Mm-hmm. I can actually see that. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. You can message on the hotline 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.